Welcome, everyone. It is February 15th. I can't believe it's already the middle of February. It was just January. That's crazy. And 2026. And this is the Morgellons Think Tank podcast of the week. And I am Robin, the co-host, here to welcome you. This is where you're going to find answers, information, and community that helps you get your life back from Morgellons, Lyme, and other skin parasites. The traditional medicine is at a loss of what to do if they even believe that it's real. You know, they think you're crazy and they want to give you antipsychotic drugs, or they understand it's real but they don't know what to do. So this is a, you know, where we've had to find our own answers. And there are answers, and we're here to share them with you. There are answers, there's community, there's help. So if you're looking for any of those things, you've come to the right place. And we're so lucky to have Carrie Ann and Richard Kuhns hosting this podcast. They're both amazing experts in the world of Morgellons. And they have helped so many people get their lives back. I'm honored to be on this call with them. And at this time, I would like to introduce Carrie Ann and Richard Kuhns.
Thank you, Robin. You're looking great today. Feeling better?
Feeling much better, thank you.
Oh, wonderful. And we need to get started. We always do the federal regulations because we want to always be in compliance. The FDA requires me to inform everybody on this call that before you start my diet, if that's the route you're going, or accept any recommendations that you hear on this call or from any of my coaches, that you thoroughly discuss those recommendations with your regular MD to make sure they will not interfere with any health problems you're presently experiencing. The AMA reminds me to tell you that none of us are medically trained or licensed to practice medicine. Therefore, because only licensed physicians, board certified, are allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, mitigate, or prevent disease. So we don't do any of that. What we are allowed to do by law is to educate you. Now, if you're utilizing my diet, we can educate you how to use the diet. Something that all of you need to do, diet or not diet, is to disinfect your environment. So we can educate you how to clean up your environment and get them out of your environment. Because the reality is, until you do so, you are a walking, talking, breathing parasite machine. These organisms drop from you throughout the day wherever you go. Many people will actually report standing next to somebody and feel them jumping onto them. You know, that's how they operate. So they are contaminating your environment. They're contaming your workspace, your living room, your bedroom, everything. So you got to get them out, so that you don't keep getting reinfected. So we're allowed to educate you how to disinfect your environment, and we're allowed to educate you how to clean your skin, and we're allowed to educate you how to build health and immune response. And if you're on my diet and using my diet, we have very specific supplements that are compatible with the diet to build health and immune functioning. So today, I'm getting over a little bit of a cold. Carrie Ann has a particularly interesting job. I don't know if it's a job, career, hobby, but what would you call it?
I would call it, I got pulled into a lot of madness that they call Morgellons, and I came into it blindly, and I became what they call a victim, I guess, but I don't play the victim. But I just ended up with Morgellons, and here I am, basically.
Wonderful. So They're in moderating a Facebook group. There's a lot of work, and there are a lot of people who post a lot of things. Fads.
Yes.
What over the years, there are people that post fads. What do you know? Some of those fads. What some of them have been.
We touched base last week on the tobacco fad. It was a new one, and since I had another member try it, and these white plugs are coming all out of their faces, and it's bizarre, but it worked. So I don't know. Let's see. We've had, of course, ivermectin is a huge one. It's been, you know, in and out through the years. I called it horse
ivermectin.
And then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they called it horse paste. Oh, no, don't take that. Now it's good for you. And, you know, on and off, that was a big fad. I mean, I don't even know if it went away, but that was
yeah,
huge.
People are still into that. But I just remembered that I wanted to first start the meeting with, because people may be listening to this and are not really sure what Morgellons is and if it pertains to them or not. So typically, what would a Morgellons person experience? They would experience filaments and fibers growing from their skin that are not normal. These filaments and fibers can be various lengths, various colors. They're said to be fluorescent. They could be red, white, blue, green, I guess, black. Some people actually report them moving. Although there's another administrator with another Facebook group says, if you see moving filaments, you're crazy. You know, well, you know, maybe he is. And itching, yes. Itching to the degree that you feel like you're sleeping on shards of glass, biting sensations that feel like they go to the bone, lesions that pop up and never seem to heal, burning skin. So these are all the typical symptoms that people report associated with Morgellons. But the interesting thing is that there are also other organisms that are relatively unknown to the general populace of the Morgellons community, very rarely talked about, such as Columbola. Columbola, I don't know how do you pronounce it, springtails. Snow fleas goes by those different names. There are 6,000 different species. About 19 of them, reported in my book on a study, have an affinity for flesh. And these also create non-healing lesions, itching to the degree that you can't sleep. You're awakened in the middle of the night and are crazy. And biting sensations that go to the core of your bone, it feels like. So those organisms can also coexist with Morgellons. And then there's skin fungus. And we noticed last week, skin fungus can burn, a burning sensation, redness, and also be associated with a biting that feels like it goes to the core of the bone. But the difference is with Columbola, that biting sensation doesn't move. If it starts here, that's where it stays until it goes away. With skin fungus, it could start here, and 10 minutes later, you could feel it over here. It's mobile. So just to get that out of the way, so you understand that if you're experiencing those sensations and symptoms, you'll know what organisms can be connected to them. Now, I understand one of the more recent fads that have come up is quercetin. Quercetin.
Quercetin. There
yes.
You go. Yeah. It is, and honestly, I believe it's very good for you. I really don't know about any properties it may or may not have that would be, you know, beneficial to specifically Morgellons, but I mean, it's a great supplement, you know, for detoxification and things like that.
I haven't seen
enough proof or enough people have said that it has effectively helped them, but it's relatively a new fad, you know, like you said.
fads. You know, back probably around 2005 or 2006, I saw, it's not on the YouTube anymore, but a video where the guy said, the answer to Margellons is baking soda. All you have to do is consume baking soda and Margellons. It went away for him. So I looked at that and I said, well, that's kind of weird, but I don't know. But you know what I did?
Let's try it.
Added it to my protocol. I know it's not going to cure everybody, but I added it to the protocol because it makes sense, because the idea is to alkalize the body.
Yes,
now, but technically, you really can't make your body more alkaline. Your pH is really tight. But what you do by consuming baking soda or eating alkaline foods is that you reduce the stress upon your body to stay at that perfect pH. And that makes sense. And is beneficial. So I added that to my protocol anyway, right away. It's cheap, it's easy to do, and it helps. So, and then along in 2006, I saw a fellow who said, we don't have Margellons. We all have Strongyloides cericalis. And he published his diet, and he went, you know, so there are these people that have the affinity to really like take over. I don't know, they have some kind of magnetism about them. They make a post, it goes viral, and suddenly they have a much larger voice than they should have. So I also had
some people, I think, are some people are trying to catch on. I didn't think our group would ever grow as big as it did, and I found myself on some days I'm like, the members know more than me, and I've been at this for a long time. But you'll find these people are—they're educating themselves more and more now. It's good, though.
Well, that's how I got to where I am. I educated myself. So, but back
it's
on
better.
Strongyloides,
yeah, it's best that way.
Back on Strongyloides cericalis, he published a diet, and I also had my diet. The interesting thing was is that soy was on his diet. It wasn't on my diet, and I realized that Strongyloides cericalis, yes, it's a cofactor, but not Margellons, but not Margellons. So there are people who get mixed up in their facts, and they go down the wrong path with assumptions. Now, quercetin, I checked the thing out, and it's a great supplement. No reason not to take it, but doing anything, whether you take quercetin or whatever you take, or baking soda, unless you know how to disinfect your environment, unless you know how to eat, unless you know how to clean your skin, you're, you know, excuse my word, pissing in the wind. You're not going to get anywhere.
Very good point. Yes.
So they always say, do this, but they forget to say, well, you've got to be really diligent about how you disinfect, and you got to know how to disinfect your environment. Because, for instance, enzymes, everybody uses enzymes. We have them in our store, clean them up. Ours is called Clean Them Up Zymes. There's Clean Green and things like that. But they don't all work for Margellons. They don't know that.
Right.
So, well, anyway, quercetin. Let me take a look here. We're going to compare quercetin to glutathione, and we're going to compare it to SOD, which is superoxide dismutase. I had to look up the pronunciation of that. In fact,
While you're looking that up, I could give you some insight on someone who does believe in quercetin and his views on it. I said fairly I would represent that, and it would be for a synthetic parasite. I have no idea about the science behind that or anything,
well,
but that's
what
people are claiming.
I'm going to get into the science because I checked it all out. I checked it all out, and I'm not saying that he hasn't benefited from it. And in fact, it may have produced all the results that he thought. But to get stuck on one thing and say that's the answer, you see, I look at it like a tree. Now, in my approach to it, the trunk of the tree is the diet. You know, unless you know how to eat and what to eat, you're not going to get any, the tree is not going to grow. You know, it's not going to happen. So you really got to know what you, what you're going to eat. Now, there are many branches to this tree. And I'm not saying that, you know, for instance, back around 2008, part of my protocol was milk thistle. Why was milk thistle? It's an anti-inflammatory. So that's the extent of what I knew about anti-inflammatory. I knew it was important, but I chose milk thistle. 2015.
You know what, Richard, whether it's synthetic or natural parasite, I don't know about synthetic. I never studied synthetic parasites, but I've been recently catching up. But whether it's one or the other, it's still parasites that causes the inflammation that you're treating. And everything,
well, that's true.
You're going multidimensional, so you're
we
attacking everything
yeah,
either way.
From my approach, I don't care if it's synthetic or if it's real. I know what to do about it. I don't care where it came from.
Exactly.
I don't care where it came from, Plum Island. I don't care if it, whether it came from warfare. I don't care if it's a patent. I don't care what it is. I know what to do about it, and that's what makes the difference.
Exactly.
But let's look at these three things, quercetin, glutathione, and as I said, there's another protocol, well-known. I don't remember the name of this, of him, but he's in my book. I reported on the protocols that were popular at the time. And he went the route of SOD, which is side peroxide dismutase. Now, what do each of these things do? Well, we look at the function. Neutralization, that would be SOD, first neutralization of superoxide, that's SOD. Detoxification of metals, that's important. That is glutathione, all right? Not quercetin, not sod. Recycling vitamins A, C, and E. This is very important because if you remember Linus Pauling, he got the Nobel Prize many, many years ago. He's passed away since then. He was a proponent of consuming massive amounts of vitamin C. He didn't know that glutathione does that. Otherwise, he never would have proposed massive doses of vitamin C. So the only, of the three, the only one that does this is glutathione. Recycled vitamin A, C, and E. Anti-inflammatory. Quercetin is a strong anti-inflammatory. Glutathione, a moderate anti-inflammatory. Sod, a moderate anti-inflammatorial. Mitochondrial protection. Now, this is super important. The mitochondria are what keep us alive. They are like millions of little viruses, friendly viruses in each cell of our body. If they burn too fast, premature death. If they are not protected, they die early. So we need, so both, all three, quercetin, glutathione, and sod, protect the mitochondrial protection. Histamine regulation, that is quercetin. Hemoglobin protection, glutathione. Cell membrane protection, all three of them work. So when you set up a protocol, like for instance, I took out milk thistle because glutathione does it. How much money does somebody have? The idea of all these limbs, we can't afford to do everything. Like people will say, how about oxygen therapy? They have these units that you go into special. Well, where, you know, that's expensive. Where are they? That's a limb on the tree, and it may be a very effective, but it's not practical for most people. So we need to look at the limbs of the tree that are most practical for most people and to choose the ingredients that get the most done. So if someone were to put out a protocol and said, well, you need to take quercetin, you need glutathione, you need sod, that gets overly expensive. So we have to choose the most effective route. And the one I've chosen is by boosting glutathione. Now, I would guess that if this gentleman had come upon glutathione first prior to discovering for certain, he'd be out there preaching glutathione is the answer. In fact, that's how I got involved with glutathione. Am I still on? I'm not hearing anything.
Yeah, you're on.
Oh,
and you're
okay.
On.
All right. Yeah. My screen kind of
I'm
went
thinking
blank.
it's all trial and error. We all kind of start somewhere and we find the right thing and then we switch and that's a little bit better and then we might add something different and
exactly.
It's great that people put their minds together and go for it though, you know. It's just, safety is the main thing, you know.
Now how did I come to learn about glutathione? Now back about 12 years ago, Lyme disease crippled me. I could not write my name. I couldn't drive a car with my foot on the gas pedal. I had to use a stick and modulate it with my hand. 24/7 pain, inflammation out the window. God, it was terrible. One of the people, my book is 15% me and 85% contributions from people that I've worked with. When people write me, I listen to them. When they send me research projects, I look into those research projects, and I put it together in this incredible book. So a lady sent me a bottle of glutathione, and she said it cured her of Morgellons. It cured her of Morgellons. Well, I didn't
and
have
there
Morgellons.
There have been people say that about quercetin. You know, I don't know. It hasn't happened to me, and I can't say that they lie, you know, but I don't know.
Well, I don't doubt that quercetin helped this one gentleman, but I'm thinking that if he happened upon glutathione, he'd been preaching glutathione because it even does more than quercetin does.
Right.
And, yeah,
and maybe that's something people will pick up, you know. That's maybe, you know, an alternate that's even better, maybe. I don't know.
Well, she claimed that glutathione cured her. Now, I didn't go bragging and producing, you know, glutathione is going to cure you or anything like that. She was good enough to give me a sample for 1 month. And I wasn't even dealing with Morgellons at the time. I had no skin parasite issues. I only had Lyme disease. I expected nothing. So I took the glutathione capsule she sent me for a month. And notice my Lyme disease had improved 90%, which really blew my mind. Now, I didn't go brag about this glutathione thing. What I did was I offered for volunteers. I got like a dozen volunteers who I paid 50% of the cost of the glutathione, and they paid the other 50%. And out of all 12 reported benefits from glutathione. It didn't cure them of Morgellons, but it helped them progress much faster than they otherwise would have. So
that's the best we have is something that helps us. We do not have a cure. We only have each other. So
right. Now, the next thing, I doubt that this gentleman ever would have found glutathione. If he had gone to a health food store and bought the glutathione supplement, it's called reduced glutathione, and he would have taken it, I doubt that he would have gotten any benefit from it. Mainly because glutathione is a very large tripeptide molecule consisting of three amino acids. And when you consume it in its regular form, it gets broken down by the stomach. And only about 10 to maybe 20% of it actually gets into the cellular mechanism. So buying it that way doesn't work very well. Fortunately for me,
is that the same thing as like eating it, like you absorb it through foods better? Would that be the case with that?
If you ate maybe 15 pounds of red meat every day and a bushel of red peppers every day, you might get enough glutathione. But so it's like vitamin C. To get enough vitamin C, you got to eat, 60 oranges a day or something like that. But fortunately for me, the glutathione that I was introduced to was a very specialized patented product called Max One. And Max One is not glutathione. It's a combination, a patented process where they combine L-lysine, no, I forget which it is, D-ribose, which is a natural sugar, and L-cysteine, which is the protein. They bond them together. It goes past the stomach. It gets in the cellular mechanism, gets into the cell itself. Now, here's what this does that takes this whole thing 10 leaps further. D-ribose happens to be the natural sugar for the mitochondria. So we support mitochondria, health of mitochondria, which is super important. And the L-cysteine is a limiting molecule of the tripeptide glutathione that's created inside the cell to protect the DNA, to detoxify, and all the other miraculous things it does. Now, this formulation boosts glutathione levels in the body by 270% compared to what you would buy in a health food store. So it isn't...
Richard, correct me if I'm wrong, okay? I went somewhere with what you just said. This biofilm are chains of polysaccharides, right?
So what is that?
Would that not play into the biofilm aspect of Morgellons?
I'm not sure if it would, but all I know is it takes away the toxicity in the cell. It strengthens immune response. It improves the ability for oxygen to carry hemoglobin. Now, if you go back in history, you'll find that, I forget the name of a lady, Hilgard, who am I talking about? Hilgard Stanger? Remember her?
Not very well. Not enough to speak of.
Well, Hilgard Stanger, she was into zapping, but her contribution was a realization that Morgellons modifies the DNA. Morgellons modifies our DNA.
I believe her. I believe that.
So the glutathione is the major protector of the DNA.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can see why that's very relevant.
So it interrupts the ability of Morgellons to do what it normally does. Have fun with you. All right?
So do you think it could break down those sugar chains there?
I'm not getting the question.
The polysaccharide chains, do you think that it could break those down?
No, it doesn't do anything about that, and I'm not sure what benefit would be derived from doing that. So if you're looking at setting up a protocol that's going to do the most for the least cost, you go the route of glutathione. Now, the cost is substantial. So if you go to a health food store and buy a bottle of reduced glutathione, I'm guessing you're buying it, going to pay $20, $25. This glutathione is like $85 for a bottle. But to get the equivalent that you would have to go to a health food store, you would have to buy about $130 worth of the reduced glutathione and take like 15 capsules a day to get what you would get with two capsules of this product. So I'm basically saying I understand this quercetin thing, and I would say that he definitely got benefit from it, and I'm thinking that if he found glutathione, he would have gotten even faster benefit. But of course, it's pretty obvious that he also...
I would like to know the answer to that. I really would. I'm open-minded, so I'm here to learn as, you know, much as teach, I guess. But, yeah, that'd be a good question to answer.
What? What
if
is the
he would
question?
Have found one before the other, I would like to know. I mean,
yeah, well,
there should be a way
to
find out.
I mean, obviously, the other guy, I forget who it is, that created this other protocol that's well known, He found sod first, the sod peroxide dismutase. He found that first, and it helped him, so he went that route. I'm just fortunate that I found glutathione that really basically was really instrumental in me knocking out Lyme disease. And that's the other thing.
Yeah, it worked for you. Yeah.
If you look at all the experts that deal with Lyme disease, away from the antibiotics, you know, the herbs, and there's Dr. Klinghart, and I don't remember all of them. None of them talk about boosting glutathione. None of them. I don't know why. It would be the first thing
I think that about some things, too. I wonder, like, even things I've heard in the past that work for a lot of us very well, people stop talking about. Then it'll come up again. And the fads, like you talk about, they come and go.
So, well, that's the thing on quercetin. It definitely is a good supplement, but I would think it would be in pale compared to boosting glutathione effectively. In our store, we have the Max 1, and we also have patches. You know, there was a period of time where we couldn't get Max 1. The stupid company ran out of stock for like 6 months. Fortunately, I have a friend who is also into health. He specializes in helping people with diabetes and things like that. And they have patches that he introduced me to. And you simply put a patch on your breastbone, or if your hand is aching, you put it on a joint, and it gives you a boost of 500% glutathione. So we found benefit by both. But my preference would be the Max 1, because it also has a D-ribose that benefits the mitochondria and goes into the cell itself, which would be my choice.
Richard, I think the best thing we drew from today's discussion on quercetin is that this guy, I mean, his name's John. I spoke with him earlier. He doesn't mind me saying his name because we agree to disagree. But, you know, he tries to make people understand that he said that he's talking about synthetic parasites. But in addition, even if it's synthetic, you know, it's going to draw real – like natural parasites, whatever that means.
Well, I can't imagine Morgellons being anything but a synthetic parasite.
Right, because it's starting to seem like it's self-assemble, self-replicate, all that stuff. So.
It's comprised, the filaments are comprised of keratin and collagen, but that is some kind of synthesis that does that. It's a synthetic thing. It's like silkworm, you know, the silkworm produces silkworm. That's a synthetic.
Well, we are what we eat, so that they are eating seemingly our hair and skin. So, I mean, I don't know. I've had so many bizarre theories that sound like sci-fi.
Again, to me, the theories make no difference. I could care less, you know.
You won't go crazy.
Another topic I thought we would discuss is spousal support.
That is so important. I don't have that, but I have members who do. It's priceless. Yeah.
I know. And it's really sad because you have unless you have spousal support or family support, it's like you're starting out at minus 50. And if you have a spousal support, you're starting out at plus 50. It's so sad. Yeah. And again, this is education. The spouse, unfortunately, I think 99% of the time, it's the woman who doesn't have the spousal support. Very often. I've never really heard a guy say, well, my wife thinks I'm crazy, you know. I never heard that.
I don't hear it very often either. But you know what? The ones who don't have spousal support, I have noticed that they're the ones who stay in the group a lot, and they become close with each other and make friends. And So they have each other. So that's at
Yeah.
least, a good thing.
I had thought starting a group would be good, but I haven't been able to get that group started because it,
Go for it. The more we need more. We need them everywhere.
well, perhaps I mean I'm sure you probably have more people in your group that would qualify for it, and maybe somehow we could get a group in time together. It we don't want a pity
Perfect.
party because it, I mean Morgellons itself, in my years of looking at documentaries about Morgellons, even the more recent movie Skin Deep, they are not, they're terrible. There's no hope.
Yeah.
Even when you listen to
Yeah, we
Hans.
need new research and we need more hope, and we don't want the gloom and doom and somebody come save us, and money like that should be put into research to actively help people,
What kind of research do you think we would need?
I think some of the research that we're getting is good, but it's the same reportings, it's the same findings. I haven't heard anything really significantly new since maybe 2012. I mean, oh, wait a minute, you have your revised book. Never mind.
Well, my
You
book
do
isn't
your
called,
revisions, Richard. That's
but
updated.
that's not research. That's just reporting on what little research there is. And it's not a lot.
Hey,
It's
every
not
little
a lot.
bit counts, but I would like to see some funds going into some universities. We have a big research triangle here in North Carolina. I think somewhere like that would be the job. I mean,
You know, back in 2000, I think the first research we need is to replicate a study that was done by the National Pedulosis Society around 2002. They took 20 people who were diagnosed as having delusions of parasites, and they
oh.
did microscopy on the lesions that they found. And this is before the word Morgellons was even, this is even before what they knew that Morgellons was connected with filaments and fibers. You know, this was ancient history.
Wow.
But out of 20 people diagnosed with delusions of parasitosis, they found 18 were infested with Columbella.
I believe you. I've seen
Now,
it in
what about the other
lesions
two?
through a
Who,
microscope.
the other two probably had Morgellons. In fact, probably all 20 had Morgellons as well. Who knows?
Oh, I
But
guarantee it's 100%. I bet, yes.
that's a study we need. We need 1,000 participants of people who are diagnosed
Yes.
with delusions of parasitosis to go under the microscope with somebody who knows what they're looking for, because even in the report, they reported that they needed expert people with microscopy experience because the finding Columbella, even under the microscope with experienced microscopy people, they found it difficult to find them, but they were there.
They
So,
don't look at it every day like we do. That's the problem.
You and I don't really see them on our skin, but they're there. I have one person with 20/10 vision, and she could see them. But even with 20/20 vision, it's hard to see Columbella on your skin.
Oh, I mean, with the microscope, I used to see them on a daily in my own lesions in a microscope.
My first experience was I was lying in bed, and I woke up one morning, and I don't know why, but I looked at my forefinger. And when I looked at my forefinger, there's a little thing standing up vertical. It was a little thing standing up vertical, and it was moving. And what the hell is that? I didn't even know what Columbella was at that point. That was like 2000 or 1999. I don't know. But
What you mean it looked like a fiber? Did it look like a fiber?
no, it was about The length of a long dust particle. It was Columbella. It was, when I think back, it was the exact definition. Columbella is a rod-shaped organism, about 300 microns in length. And in the middle, it has a spring. That's why they call them springtails. It can bend. And what happens is that they spring. They can spring up from the floor about maybe 12 or 18 inches. And in fact, in one of my blog posts, it's rather detailed. They not only spring, they have direction to the, they can actually go where they want to. They just don't spring indiscriminately. They can actually spring to where they want to go. They're an amazing
Wow.
organism. And they're different, but they all are about 300 microns in length. They're rod shaped and they bend in the middle. And that's what the guy was doing. He was waving at me. And then he sprung away, I
All
guess.
these accounts of things flying out of people's lesions, I believe them. I've seen video evidence. I'm wondering if some of that is what you're describing.
Well, that's my ACES, and I experienced that as well. People breed different organisms under their skin. People breed mites. One time I took my coat off in wintertime, and there was a mite that just flew right out. Where did it come from? I mean, was I on the way to the prom or something, and the mite was joined? I don't know, but the mite was there. It just came right out.
We give birth to them, however we do, is strange. Things just happen.
Well, there's
I sound crazy, but it's true.
a term called miasis, in which you can have midges breeding under your skin and they erupt. I saw a video, I think it was posted in India, where this child swallowed a fly, and then some period of time later, coming from the skin, were all the larvae from that fly that he swallowed. So, I mean, this is not, there are plenty of reports of this kind of thing happening. And of course, when you involve Morgellons in it, then these organisms don't come out as they normally would look, but they come out as modified. Last week I mentioned a lady showed me a picture of a 16-legged spider coming out of her skin. I would have published
Oh, I
it, but
believe it.
it wasn't really a good picture. It was you if you really had to focus on it to see all those legs, so it wasn't really in focus, so I didn't really publish it. But all
Richard,
kinds of things
doctors
come
are
up.
going to tell you that even with miasis, I mean, they're going to tell you that there's so many gnats and flies and all this. And, only the butt fly or certain flies can cause miasis. But no, I believe that most can. I mean, they go after necrotic tissue a lot and they can lay eggs right there. The womb closes. There you have eggs
Yeah,
that can't complete a life cycle. They're trapped.
exactly. The sand flea, that's a cofactor involved
Oh.
with oftentimes with Morgan. All these are cofactors. Like last week, I talked about the chessboard, and all these things are different cofactors. So to go about and say
Yes.
that, so if I were to go about and say, quercetin is going to cure your Morgellons, shoot me in the head. I can't be that stupid, can I? To think that it could possibly deal with all of these cofactors, Lyme disease, sand fleas, and all this. No, it's not going to work for everybody. But yeah, it could be
You
very
have to
important.
come from a lot of different directions when you combat this. I mean, you can't just focus on one thing.
No, you
You have to
can't.
treat everything.
For instance, there's a
I do
guy down
agree
in
with that
Mexico.
100%.
There's a guy down in Mexico. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't even remember it, but you may know of him. He's the magnet guy. Many years ago, he said the magnets are going to cure you, and now he's saying he has a facility there
Yes.
where you can go and get well. And his claim is that it's all about miasis, and that's where he's pigeonholed. Morgellons is about miasis. Everybody gets a
One
pigeon.
guy's claim is you had to come to a hotel room, and I knew some women were, and that didn't settle right with me. But I really wouldn't trust any of these gimmicky type things in the community. Wow.
Well,
That's gimmicky.
I've had people share that they, one fellow joined my program, and he wasn't sure he really wanted to do the diet. Everybody's looking for a quick way out. I mean, this diet is really difficult. But you don't have to travel 1,000 miles and pay $500 a visit to a doctor to pump you full of antibiotics. You go down to the grocery store and get what you need. You do everything in your home, and you put in the effort. Damn it, and it's worth it. But this fellow didn't want to do it.
You're going to get back what you put in with your diet. That's what people need to understand. It's an investment.
People don't want to do that, so they want the quick way out. He spent $10,000, and it almost killed him. The protocol the guy put him on almost killed him.
There are so many stories like that. Yeah.
That's Morgellons, isn't it? And we have...
It's like Joni Mitchell said, the folk singer, she said it's like something from outer space. And she wasn't joking. I mean, and that's before they started talking about the reset and all that stuff. Even before then, it sounds like outer space, sci-fi.
Yeah, it's definitely sci-fi, but I think we created it right here on Earth with our own technology going crazy. But again, like I said,
I
don't care where.
Right.
I don't care where it came from. I don't care if it came from outer space. I don't care if it came from Plum Island. I don't care if it came from military research. I don't care. We know
we
what to do.
We have the
about
same
it.
Weapons to fight it either way, right?
Food, food. What you eat, you are what you eat.
Exactly.
You know, you're familiar with vibrations. You're familiar with Dr. Rife from the 30s, Rifing?
Yes, I am.
Now, that was a sad turn of events. Dr. Rife was really onto something, and he had a disagreement with the head of the AMA, and that was about the same time penicillin was invented, and the head of the AMA decided to go the route of penicillin, which basically wiped out Dr. Rife's work or any progress that could be made medically. But it's all about vibrations. And Dr. Rife's whole theory is that there are vibrations.
It's actually Nikolai Tesla who created Rifing.
That may be.
Nikolai Tesla, yeah.
But nevertheless, Dr. Rife was working on the Rifing and was working with the AMA. And the theory behind it is very valuable. And that it's the frequencies that resonate with the viruses or the fungus or the bacteria or whatever that cause them to disintegrate. And in a way, it seems that that's what the foods do. There are certain foods, and you don't guess what they are. They just are. Like, for instance, carrots are going to feed the organisms. Asparagus is going to feed the organisms, foods that you would think are good and normal for you. Foods that we would think would feed them also, like sugars and flours, a little wheat and things like that. But it's knowing which foods have the vibrations to kind of put them to sleep and dispose of them. That's the important part. I see we have about 9 minutes left on our podcast today. What do we want to do to wrap it up? Hello?
Is she here?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I don't know. Does she have questions she wanted to take?
No.
Or?
Actually, this segment, okay. we weren't entertaining any questions or comments. You know, she just noted that Nikola Tesla... And that's another sad story. That was more the most brilliant man, probably aside from Einstein, that ever walked the face of the earth. And politics at every event and greed, corporate greed, destroyed everything he had going. It's so much like
killing us now. Corporate greed. I mean, it's killing us today.
Yeah, it is. It's ruining our economy. It's doing everything. I mean. So it's unfortunate, but What we can't
It
do much
really
about
is.
that except at the polling booth, vote them out. That's all we can do. So what shall we
That's
do? We've got
right.
about.
And we have a community to get each other better, and we're going to move forward and do that. Maybe one day we'll figure out the difference between synthetic parasites and natural ones. Because I'm a natural girl, but I'm ready to learn. I don't know.
Well, I would say
Since the
natural
Twilight
parasites.
Zone.
I would say natural parasites are like nematodes we talked about last week, the pinworms, roundworms,
Yes.
flatworms, strongyloides. They're the natural ones that have been around for centuries and hundreds of years. The Morgellons is definitely synthetic. It's just like a silkworm spins silk. Our bodies now spin filaments and fibers comprised of keratin and collagen. It still comes out of the body. I mean, the silk comes out of the body of the silkworm, and and this comes out of our bodies. So,
Yeah, we're
and
becoming a plethora of things. It's not just humans anymore. It's something weird. I don't know. But,
well, there's everything weird because we have to look at everything that goes into this. It's like people talk about Morgellons, but very few people talk about the effect of electromagnetic force, EMF. Very few people talk about 5G affecting Morgellons people or 4G.
It affects me, Richard, and we'll get on that another day, but it really does. Very recently, a few weeks ago, actually, it started.
The bottom line is that human beings have become experimental research for the
Yes.
billionaires. We've become an experiment for Monsanto and their damn friggin' glyphosate that they've already proven to contribute to Hodgkin's disease and other lymphomas. And
Right.
they're genetically modified seeds that what the hell are they good for us? They got toxins, poisons. If it poisons a worm, it's going to poison us. It gets accumulated in
It's
our
changing our
cells.
DNA is what they're doing. Little bit by little bit, it seems.
The incidence of diabetes, the incidence of all these diseases have spiraled exponentially. In the last 20,
Right.
30 years, the glyphosate is a natural antibiotic. It gradually kills off our good bacterium that we have in our gut when we consume it. And when you screw up the gut, you're screwed up.
Yeah, that's where you start having many other problems to follow.
So. Well, the only good thing is we know what to do about it. There's some people. Sometimes I tease about this. If you, depending on how EMF sensitive you are, they have fabric that you can go on eBay and buy. This is a piece of it here that I put over my router to minimize the exposure locally. But there may be a time where we're going to have to dress by fabric, our clothing and fabric like that to shield us from this EMF that we're constantly exposed to.
I wasn't really joking, but I made a joke about it. But I was kind of serious. But I was talking about joining the Tinfoil Hat Club. There's a lady making cute hats, and I was like,
Yeah.
I'm gonna join that club one day. But
Yeah,
I'm not kidding.
I know of at least two. I'm hoping there's more since then. This is as of about 4 years ago. Easton, Connecticut, I think, is a town where they have banned 5G, and there's another place in Hawaii where they banned 5G. But we have
They
so many,
should.
we have so many many other stresses in our world. The politics of today, and the one lie after the next lie that we. This crap just slips by our attention. It just gets
It
by
does.
because
The
we're being
Epstein files, that's
bombarded.
all anybody cares about.
Yeah. So anyway.
But they're killing us every day.
They are. We are human guinea pigs for big corporate America. And they, unfortunately, are dictating our politics. It's not government by the people for the people. It's government by the corporation for the corporation is what it is right now. And
That's
rich.
Right. It has been for a long time, actually, but yeah.
More so.
Now more than ever.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we got 2 minutes to wrap it up. Sharon,
Richard,
you have anything?
I'm glad you had me. These are great discussions. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah, that was a great session, as always. I did want to just add something, though, in regards to the spouse. I have actually been a collector of spouses. I've had about 5 of them. So don't worry if they don't believe in you. Don't try to force them to believe, because sometimes they can just be carriers. They can be giving it to you, and they don't realize that they have it. So focus more on your healing than trying to do convincing of your spouse. I just thought that needed to be said. And
great,
thanks.
Thank
that
you.
Was a
very well said. Very well very said, well. Robin.
Robin, do you have anything you'd like to add before we wrap it up? Is Robin still with us?
Yes, yes, yes. Sorry, I'm muted.
She's in a moment of food for thought.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, but I take quercetin with bromelain. I think, you know, you do different things, and it's like a puzzle. You find the right puzzle pieces for you in your journey and your healing. But I don't think it's ever just one piece, or very rarely.
No, you would never go out and say quercetin is going to cure you of Morgellons. That's what you should do. But
no,
it could be part of the puzzle, right?
Right, exactly.
It's
rule
finding
much out within reason.
It's finding out which limbs on that tree are going to get the job done.
Right, and everyone's
amen,
a little
Richard.
So, or maybe a lot different.
Get on that king diet. You'll be okay.
Have you started it yet,
I need
Karen?
To get on it.
Have you started it?
No, I told you I was going to gain a little bit, and then I was going to go more aggressive.
Okay.
I just need to gain a little bit more weight, though.
And remember, we have a couple of great coaches. Carol Ann, she was very low in weight as well. Anyway, we're down to about 20 seconds.
I'm thinking about that chicken skin.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part.
I love chicken skin.
On the diet.
I do too. I love it.
Yeah, crispy chicken skin. Yum.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Carrie and Robin
thank
and Sharon.
Thank you, guys. It's always
love
great.
You all. Okay. We'll see you next week.
Love to you all and have a great day.
Great.